Now, as I'm sure many of you know, Leslie has, I'll call this, an elite squad of bibliophiles who bring you first-hand advice on what to buy from your local bookshop. They are known, the collective name for them is Leslie's Readers. Now, this afternoon, Leslie's Reader, codenamed Bookmark, is with us to talk about the novel Our Souls at Night by Kent Harouf from Browser's Bookshop in Woodbridge. Hello to Catherine Lana. Hi, Catherine.
Hello.
Now, this is, I'm being quite jolly at the moment, but this is quite a sad but beautifully written novel, isn't it?
It is, but actually it's a book about happiness or seeking happiness, so it's not entirely sad.
Oh, I'm pleased with that. Explain, what's the premise of the book?
Okay, for a start, it's very short and it's written very simply, but I think it's got such deep sensations in it, deep sentiments in it, that I think that you're so moved that you want to read it over and over again. That's my experience anyway. I know some people will probably find that the simplicity might be a little bit frustrating perhaps, but for a lot of people that I've discussed it with, we've really enjoyed the way that it's written. And it's primarily about two neighbours. They're called Addie and Louie, and they live in a small town in America. They're both living alone now, so their families are gone, their partners are dead, life is very quiet, they're looking to the end of their days, which is the sad bit, I suppose, really. So life is quiet and solitary. But one night, Addie walks over to Louis's house, and she says she's got a proposition for him, and she asks him for his company during the night. She wants somebody that she can talk to before she goes to sleep, and she wants somebody to lie beside her so that she's got company when she wakes up. Now, it's very innocent and it's very charming. It's a very gentle story. And Louis does accept Addie's proposition, and they get to know each other better and they have conversations together. And it's through these conversations that we get to know a great deal about their lives. And we find out that they're not entirely good people. They're not entirely bad people. They've made mistakes, and we hear about the people that they've loved and the people that they've hurt. And it's full of remorse and regret, but it's also hope. And they've decided that they want to grasp happiness where they can, and they want to live for the moment. So we enjoy this time that they have. But then we find out about the reactions from the local community, from their friends and their family. And that causes us to respond as to how would we react, where would we stand in this story, and how do we feel about their family's reactions. So it's quite a challenging book, I think. It, as I say, it seems very simple, and you're reading along, and then all of a sudden you're taken aback because you're forced to engage and react and think about their emotions and their the responses from the people that they know. So I think it's a really interesting book, but I'd like to tell you a little bit about what I found out about how it was written as well.
Oh, okay.
Because the author sadly has died, and it's been published posthumously. And the book was written in the last days of his life. He knew that he was going to die. He'd got cancer, and he only had a certain amount of time to live. And he felt that he had one more book left in him. So he told his wife that he wanted to write a book about them, about their relationship. And she said that the favourite time that he had with her was when they would lie in bed, hold hands, and talk about everything from the day. Deep things like living and dying and their children and friends, but also funny things that had happened during the day. It was a very special time. So he decided that this was going to be the inspiration for the book, and he went to his writing shed each day for 45 days and wrote a chapter a day. They're actually very short chapters, but they feel very carefully crafted, that no word's wasted. And actually, it usually took him 6 years to write a novel, so this was quite a quick process for him. But he also had a strange way of writing. So he'd take an old-fashioned typewriter, and when he worked on the first draft of each chapter, he'd put a cap over his head, over his eyes, so that effectively he was writing blind, because he didn't want to be distracted by the spelling or the punctuation. He just wanted the story to come out of him. And then when he'd finished that chapter, he'd look at the notes and you know, finalize them, make them perfect, and type it out correctly. So I think it's a really intriguing book for lots of different reasons. So I hope that, you know, people would like to try it. But I think it's a book that you just want to keep going back to, because I think it just makes you think so much about the issues that are being raised in it, and the emotions that it raises in you as a reader as well. Yes, there are quite sad bits, but it's also quite joyful as well. and, you know, particularly about their relationship together and finding happiness together.
It sounds like the kind of thing where you'll read it at a certain point in your life and then put it to and get a lot from it and then maybe revisit it several years down the line and yes. get something slightly different.
Yes, I think so. It's also very interesting because it's about two characters that are, you know, very mature and looking towards the end of their life. So they are confronting quite profound issues for themselves. And you don't always get that in characters in novels. So it's quite an interesting concept. And it's a very moving book, I think.
And fascinating stories about the circumstances in which it was written, and probably a very good kind of lesson, really, in not allowing yourself to be distracted by detail. Just get the story out, let the creativity flow, and deal with the detail later.
That's right, and live for the moment in writing. Don't keep putting off as well. Deal with what the time that you've got if you want to write right now.
So that, I think it's safe to say you'll be recommending that one. That's definitely a thumbs up from you, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
100%.
And I convinced you.
You have. I mean, I was kind of looking, and I thought, well, I'm not very good. This is true. I'm not very good with emotionally moving stories.
Yeah.
The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas, I avoided it and avoided it. Just because I thought I'm going to cry, and for some reason it's not necessarily a man thing. It's just I just have an issue with moving stories, and then. I kind of, it's terrible to admit, on anyway, I read the last couple of chapters standing in a bookshop, which I know working in a bookshop must be a terrible thing to do. And I burst into tears in the bookshop.
Oh, no.
This is only reading the last couple. So this is the thing. It wasn't floods. It was just a little subtle trickle of tears. And yes. I was like, there, you see. And so I tend to avoid sad films and sad books.
Isn't it good for you?
It is very cathartic, yes. So I probably should jump into that. But as we've said, it's the sort of thing. Maybe you read it and then you read it again at a certain point later on in life.